Our Bible reading for this morning comes from the first book of Timothy, chapter 4, verses 7 through 16, on page 964. Have nothing to do with profane myths and old wives' tales. Train yourself in godliness, for while physical training is of some value, godliness is valuable in every way, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. The saying is sure and worthy of all acceptance, for to this end we toil and struggle, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Saviour of all people, especially of those who believe. These are the things you must insist on and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I arrive, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhorting, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you through prophecy with the laying on of hands by the council of elders. Put these things into practice. Devote yourself to them so that all may see your progress. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and your hearers. This is the word of the Lord.
And so we continue our journey through the principles of being an emotionally healthy church and developing emotionally healthy spirituality. I've entitled the message this morning, Leading with Integrity. But I could easily have entitled it Serving with Integrity, Relating with Integrity, Living with Integrity. In fact, Peter Schizzero, in his book entitled The Emotionally Healthy Church, entitles this particular chapter, Slow Down to Lead with Integrity. This morning it's about slowing down to be all that God is calling us to be in order to lead, to serve, to relate, to live with greater integrity. Most of us are starved for time, overscheduled and preoccupied. And few of us have time to enjoy Jesus, to enjoy our spouses and our children, or life itself, let alone the gift of leading and serving others. We think that the space that I need for replenishing my soul and relaxing can happen later. I've just got to get these things done. There is simply too much to do. Slowing down to lead with integrity, slowing down to serve with integrity, slowing down to relate, to live with integrity is a countercultural act of rebellion in our world today. Yet focusing on the integrity of our relationship with God, ourselves, our spouses, and our leadership is the greatest gift that we can give to those around us. If we are to nurture a heart that treats every person, ourselves included, as a you instead of an it, then we need to be intentional about our lives. By ordering our lives to contemplate the love of Christ and to receive the love of Christ, we will be able to give the love of Christ away to others. In this way, Christ transforms our lives into a gift to our families, to our friends, to our co-workers, to our communities, to our church family. The problem again, however, is our busyness and lack of intentionality. Often we find ourselves unfocused, distracted, and spiritually adrift. Few of us have a conscious plan for intentionally developing our spiritual lives. There's a very real sense for many of us that in doing all the doing, that our being with God can just fit into those cracks and fissures and small spaces around the doing stuff. Nurturing a growing spirituality in our present day culture calls for a thoughtful, conscious, purposeful plan. To do this well requires us to uncover the reality of needing to live a rule of life, to establish for ourselves some principles of how we order and prioritise our living on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. You see, we're in danger of cracks appearing in our lives. These cracks are evidences of our lack of integrity. They are those aspects that we reflect internally and sometimes externally that we're not congruent. That who we say we are and who we really are not one and the same. That what we say and what we do are disparate. Listen carefully to these examples of some reflections of cracks appearing in our integrity. There might be a couple that you might say to yourself, yeah, that sounds like me. And before I read these out, I need to say, if you're feeling a little bit hit around the head this morning by the end of this sermon, please be assured, I've taken a bit of a beating this week as I've worked through this myself. On most occasions, preachers preach to themselves. On today especially, I'm preaching to myself. You just happen to be here while I'm doing that. Spotting the cracks. Perhaps for you, serving others as a chore, a duty, and a burden instead of it being a joy. Perhaps you recognise that you're neglecting your inner life with God. Am I seeing people as obstacles rather than gifts? Am I feeling overextended and overworked? Am I constantly serving, doing and giving with very little receiving, enjoying and relaxing? Am I feeling guilty about taking time off for healthy self-care? Am I feel as if I'm living spiritually dry and empty? Am I putting out fire after never-ending fire? A crisis-to-crisis lifestyle? Am I lacking the space and time to fulfil commitments and promises that I've made to others? Am I living with a spouse who is lonely or depressed? Am I experiencing an inability to leave work unfinished? Am I denying my problems in front of others? Am I becoming defensive when others criticise or make suggestions to me? Am I pretending not to be resentful, depressed, or angry with someone? Am I feeling isolated from people and disappointed? Am I unable to let people honestly know what is going on the inside of me? I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up if any of those relate to you. As I said before, take a number and stand in line behind me. Let's hear what Paul has to say to Timothy. Timothy had been thrust into a position of responsible Christian leadership far beyond his natural capacity. He was young, probably about 30 to 35 years old, prone to illness. He was shy and reluctant to lead. Yet he found himself thrust into the responsibility of combating false teachers and bringing order to the church in Ephesus. Paul knows the key to the future of the church. It centres around Timothy's integrity. You see, if Timothy was to have submitted his resume and his response to the selection criteria, he wouldn't have even got an interview. His capacity for the job was far less than what the job demanded. However, what Paul recognised in him was a man of faithfulness, a young man with integrity who was growing in godliness. And Paul understood and encouraged Timothy to continue to grow in that godliness, to grow in the congruence of who he was as a human being and as a disciple of Jesus Christ, because it was out of that that his giftedness and skills for ministry would grow. Not the other way around. Some of us approach tasks as if we've got all the gifts and skills, but our personal relationship with Jesus Christ and who we are is not the core and the centre of our expressions of ministry. And that's a challenge. That's a confrontational challenge. Paul calls Timothy to train himself to be godly. In what ways is our life with Jesus Christ similar to an athlete in training? As an athlete prepares for the Commonwealth Games, the World Championships, or the Olympic Games, they put themselves into intentional, focused, thorough preparation for the events into which they're going to compete. I think often our commitment to grow in faith, in spiritual strength, in godliness, we treat from a very laissez-faire perspective. It'll just happen. What I'm saying this morning is that it doesn't just happen. It requires an act of our will, our intent. It requires us to be disciplined and to have a plan for immersing ourselves in the presence of God, diving into the richness of God's word to grow in godliness. Paul gives Timothy a string of commands in verses 11 to 16 that culminate in verses 15 and 16. And he writes, "Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress." My sisters and brothers in Christ, if you only hear one thing and take it away this morning, let it be this. Listen again. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Say the word progress. Progress. I don't see the word perfection here. Often we look at each other and become frustrated with one another because the other person's not perfect like we are. And it can be hard in the context of church life to be working with people who aren't perfect because they make mistakes, they stuff things up. Sometimes we think, I should have just done it myself because it would have been right then. Paul's exhortation to Timothy is to make progress. And that's the word of encouragement for each and every one of us. We're on a journey. We're growing. We're not at the destination yet. We haven't attained perfection. We are in the progress of growing into the fullness of the nature of Jesus Christ. Let us inspire one another to do that, to make progress. Paul continues, "Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers." How do you hear those words for yourself today? Is that a challenge? Is that an invitation? And what might the implications be for others if, in fact, we do become more intentional about our growth in faith, in discipleship, in our spiritual well-being? Near the beginning of this series, I presented two circles. One is activity and one is contemplation. And the reality is that for many of us, and certainly for me, this circle of activity and action and doing stuff for God is so big that there's very little time for the contemplation part. And as I said before, we try and squeeze that in and around all that we've got to do, that the doing becomes the priority. And if I've got time and energy left over, I'll be a little. But the doing becomes so much of our focus. We become driven that when I get everything done, then I can relax and I can spend some time with God. The truth is that unless we spend this time immersed in the presence of God, unless our relationship with God becomes our priority, our doing will be far less effective than it could possibly be. It will be less fruitful. It will become meaningless, in fact. And all of those cracked things that I read out before, people stop being a gift to us. They become a problem and a challenge. We become resentful. That ministry becomes for us a job and a burden instead of it being a joy and a delight and a privilege. We could make a square of four segments to represent our life. In the first box, we could say that's prayer. In the second box, we could say that's rest. In the third box, that's our work and activity. And in the fourth box, we'd call that relationships. I wonder what sense of balance there is in those four things. How much do we give ourselves in time and energy to prayer, to rest, to work and activity, and to nurturing and maintaining and growing relationships? We know that Jesus, and more often when he was under the pump, recorded for us in the Gospel, so he drew aside to pray. Early in the morning, he'd get up, he'd go to an isolated place, and there he would immerse himself in the presence of his Heavenly Father. That, for Jesus, was the priority of his ministry. All of the doing that he did flowed out of his being. It's a challenge for us to get those things the right way round. In his book entitled A Hidden Wholeness, a preacher called Parker Palmer relates a story about farmers in the Midwest of the USA who would prepare for blizzards by tying a rope from the back door of their house out to the barn as a guide to ensure that they could return safely home. So the animals, during this wintry time where there were terrible blizzards that would blow through, the animals would be put into the barn. That was their refuge. That was their place where they'd be kept safe. But the farmer, from time to time, would just need to go and check on them. They would need to be at least be watered and fed each day. And in the midst of the most terrible of blizzards, the farmers would still need to make that journey from the house to the barn in order to care for the animals. And so many of them tied this rope from the back of the house to the barn. For some, it was a significant distance. For others, not so far, just beyond the back fence. But this rope provided a guide. Those blizzards came quickly and fiercely and were highly dangerous. And when their full force was blowing, a farmer could not see his or her hand in front of them. Such was the whiteout. Many froze to death in those blizzards, disoriented by their inability to see. They wandered in circles, lost sometimes even in their own backyards. They wandered in circles, and if they lost their grip on the rope, it became impossible for them to find their way home. Some froze within feet of their own back door, never realizing how close, how desperately close they were to safety. Many of us are wandering amidst the blizzards of life and have lost our way spiritually. We've not set that rope in place, that plan for spiritual growth and development, that making our relationship with God the first and foremost thing in our lives. I want to invite you to think for a moment of people perhaps around us in the congregation here, or those whom you know in your workplace, in other churches, those whom you know who have slowed down to lead, those whom you know who have slowed down to serve, to relate, to live a life of greater integrity. Who are those people that you respect and look up to because of the integrity with which they live? Integrity is an important word in the Christian vocabulary. You know, the most cutting word that can be said to a Christian person, you are a hypocrite. Hypocrisy comes when we lack integrity. Hypocrisy is evident when we lack congruence in who we say we are and what we do and who we really are. Who are those people that you look up to and say they live out their life of faith with integrity? Not perfection, but someone who you think has got it together a bit more than you do. Who's an example for you? When I was going through theological college, I had a lecturer. His name was Reverend Dr. David Pittman. David was our lecturer in practical theology. That's preaching and pastoral care. I grew to have a deep love for David. David was the lecturer at college who gave supervision to all of the students who were in field placement. And during our third year, we'd go out to field placement. And each Wednesday, on a weekly basis, we'd come back and we would share with each other and with David about our experiences of ministry. And we're almost jumping on top of each other to share the excitement of what we'd accomplished or what we'd done or what we'd seen or heard, and jumping in to give advice to the other student who hadn't done quite so well, and we were full of wisdom and knowledge about what they ought to have done. David was quiet. David expressed a serenity that is unlike most people I know. And he would wait. He would wait until people finished speaking before he spoke. I don't know that I've ever heard David speak over the top of others. He may have done, but I don't remember that. But there's something about David. He had slowed down in order to serve, to lead, to minister within the context of that college to those who were being formed for ministry. He had slowed down in order to give expression of his faith and his life with great integrity. I consider David to be one of my fathers in the faith. He has exemplified for me something of the embodiment of the slowing down and placing Christ at the center. And so I'm inviting you now to consider the challenges of what it may mean for you to slow down your life, to be with God, to make your relationship with God first and foremost in your life. Slowing down your life to care for yourself in a healthy manner as Jesus did. Slowing down your life to be with your spouse and your family in a way that honours God. Slowing down to have integrity in the way that you lead others. Being thoughtful in your words, resolving conflicts biblically, remaining aware of God's presence, even in the midst of chaos and tension. What might be one or two simple things that you can do this week to take those first steps of growing in integrity as a disciple of Jesus Christ? What's the call that God is placing upon your life right now? In terms of shifting of priorities, having a definite plan for how you're going to grow spiritually, grow in godliness, rather than just thinking it will happen, that in the midst of the busyness of my life, that will happen. We know that the truth is that spiritually it's so easy to be adrift and not to have the security of that rope that we can hang on to in the midst of the blizzards, that we would arrive safely at the destination. Let's pray. In the stillness of these moments, Lord God, we pray that you would speak to us by your Holy Spirit. Challenge us, stir within us. Help us to take seriously this incredibly difficult challenge of growing in you and making that a priority. Be still, please. God, move within us and amongst us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.